Okay, so tonight we're going to continue in this course that I'm teaching. It's called A New Covenant Believer's Position in Authority. And just to give a bit of review of what we taught last week, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. And it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." So last week we started to talk about some of our weapons. And we started talking about the power of the shed blood, the power of His blood that was shed for us. As I was looking through my notes, it's a wonderful verse that puts it all together about the power of His shed blood. And it's Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11 says, "And they overcame him," talking about the devil, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death." And this is talking about how they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, talking about Jesus. And that is walking in our authority. When we know the power of what Jesus did on the cross for us, how He redeemed us, how He sanctified us, how He justified us. It's just some awesome truths for us to always meditate on and focus on, that there's power in the blood. You know, so many times we sing the songs and we hear the symbol, but we don't stop to think about what is it that the blood did for us. And because of His blood, we have boldness to enter the throne of grace. We have boldness. We are reconciled to Him. We can have such a relationship with Jesus Christ because of His shed blood. And we as God's people, we're to never underestimate the power of the blood of Jesus because of His shed blood. We've brought Him back into relationship with Him. Praise God. It's awesome. And because of that relationship we have with Him, and when we receive Him as our Lord and Savior, He lives on the inside of us. And it's all as a result of Him shedding His blood for us on Calvary. We have the King of Kings, the one who is more than a conqueror, living on the inside of us. Because He came and He shed His blood for us. He paid a price for us. And I think that's just awesome news. And another thing we talk about is renewing our mind. Renewing our mind to what our position is in Christ. That we're accepted. You know, so many times, a lot of people, they're born again, but their mind's not renewed to what their position is in Christ, that they're joint heirs with Christ, they're one with Him. And that's good news, that they're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that He's accepted them. You know, a lot of times people face issues with insecurity. But just to know that the great I Am accepts them, that they're valued, that He knows every grain of hair on their head. The word says that He has our name written on the palm of His hand. Wow, that's awesome news. That's great. That's something that really testified to me, because I was one of those who really struggled with the issue of feeling valued or accepted. You know, and I remember once many, many years ago, even before I knew more about my position in Christ, I remember just looking at myself in the mirror and just putting myself down, hating myself. And I remember the Holy Spirit spoke to me and He said, "You're beautiful." I said, "Who, me?" You know, I looked at Him and spoke to Him, "Who, me?" He said, "Yes, because I live on the inside of you." What an awesome revelation that He's beautiful and He lives on the inside of me. Amen. And He values me. That's why we need to renew our mind to the Word of God. I also spoke about in James 4:7, submit to God. Bring yourself in subjection to God, to who He is, to what the Word is saying. And then when you come in subjection to that, when you surrender yourself to the Word of God, then you're able to resist the enemy. But it's all falling in line with submitting to Him, surrendering to Him, surrendering to His word. "Yes, Jesus, this is who you say, what you say I am. Therefore, I'll submit to that. I'll walk in that." That's our weapon. That's one of our weapons. Renewing our mind to God's word, to who we are in Christ. And then we're able to resist the enemy. Amen. And that's such good news. The next weapon I want to talk about tonight is the name of Jesus. Now, Jesus gave every believer legal rights to use his name. His name represents our power and our authority. And I want us to remember the power is in him, not in us. We bear his name. It's our power and then his power. It's his power. He delegated his power and authority to us. Amen. So we bear his name. You know, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, Mark 16 verse 17 says, and this is Jesus speaking, and he says, and these signs would follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. So that's what Jesus is saying. This is what's going to happen in his name. You'll cast out demons. You'll heal the sick and so on. And we see the demonstration of this in Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, we know the story very, very well. Peter and John is going up to the temple to pray, and they meet a lame man there, and he's asking for alms. And Peter and John says, we don't have silver, we don't have gold, but such as I have, give I unto you. And what happens? The man, they heal the man. They lay hands on him. In verse 6 it says, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So you see the man, it's a miracle. This man who was lame from his mother's womb, he is healed. Everybody was amazed. Wow, what a miracle that took place. And then Peter, seeing that the people were so amazed, right? Here's what he says to them in verse 12. Acts chapter 3 and verse 12. He said, so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or own godliness we had made this man walk? See, they were trying to look at him. Wow, there's something about these men. You know, they have such great power. And Peter is saying it's not by our own power or by our own godliness, right? And he goes on to talk to them about it's the power of Jesus, the one whom you crucified. It's his power. It's his, the one who rose from the dead, Jesus. And he says here in verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So here Peter is saying this faith in the name of Jesus that has healed this man that was lame from his mother's womb. And I think that's just awesome, because I'm not saying that, oh, it's, you know, okay, some people have the attitude or what have you that thinks, you know, the name of Jesus is a formula. So we slap Jesus' name to the end of it. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about you're persuaded, you have faith, it's Jesus. He is the one that's done it. Out of that, we're saying in his name, he's the one. And you lay hands on the sick and they recover. He's the one. It's not like, you know, it's a formula. You know, and people get out of whack in many extremes. And that's what I'm not talking about that. You know, in John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. Let's put it, John 16, verses 23 and 24, it says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. What's that saying? Does that mean whatever is our whim and fancy, we ask him and he'll give it to us? No, it's not talking about that. It's talking about in accordance with his will, what he wants and what he desires, in accordance with his word. You know, oh, in Lord, I want my neighbor's wife, in Jesus' name, amen. No, it doesn't work that way. Lord, I want that jet over there. No, he says it's not about that. Okay, in Psalms 37, it talks about delighting in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Does that mean anything that pops up in your heart, he'll give you? No. As you delight in him, as you abide in him, he puts his desires in your heart. That's the way it works. And your mouth lines up with what he's saying, or what he's speaking to you. is never contrary to what His Word is saying or what He wants in your life. Amen. Amen. So we can ask. Amen. And it has to be in accordance with His Word. Another weapon we have is the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't have an effective ministry or an effective walk without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I stand by that. I know there are many Christians who are not Spirit-filled, but I advocate, be Spirit-filled. Your life is going to change for the better. Your eyes are going to open up so much more in the Word. I can testify of when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Whoa, my life changed. I wanted to be filled so much, and when I was filled, it's when the Lord started to show me, in fact, that I was going to cross many oceans and preach the Word of God. I think it's awesome. The Word started to open up so much to me when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 says, not by might. Let me just read it before. I don't want to butcher the verse. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Right? And we see Jesus demonstrated that. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, he said, Jesus went about by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Right? Healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. I know that's my paraphrase. But he went about by the power of the Holy Spirit. You find that verse in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Jesus cast out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we see, you know, Jesus, you know, he spoke to his disciples in Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 and verse 49, he said to them, Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. The Holy Spirit is power from on high. And we're talking about the believer's position, right? We're talking about authority here. And how many of you know we need that power? We need to walk in that power. Amen? So Jesus, that's what Jesus said to his disciples. Wait in Jerusalem until you endure that power on high. And we see that happen in Acts chapter 1. Acts 1, right? We are pretty familiar with this passage of scripture, but it's good to see it. He says in verse 5, For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And verse 8, He said, But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So we see they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened next? Well, the evidence of them being filled with the Holy Spirit was in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And it says, And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we see the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Now, you know, speaking in tongues is not just to say, oh, well, I speak in tongues. There's a purpose. You know, I remember growing up in a denomination where it's like a trophy. They say, well, I speak in tongues, you know, and that's all we do, right? We speak in tongues. But there's a purpose behind it, right? Speaking in tongues, you know, like we tell our children have a spirit form. We say, you know what, it's for a purpose. Not just to say, oh, I speak in tongues. When you speak in tongues, it builds you up. It builds you up. No, Jude chapter 20 said that building yourself up in your most holy faith. Not Jude chapter 20, but Jude 20. Sorry, Jude 20. There's no, just a small book. Jude 20, building yourself up in your most holy faith, right? That's talking about speaking in tongues. When you speak in tongues, when you spend time praying in the Holy Spirit, you're building yourself up. How many of you know we live in a world that's so full of stress, right? Things are always coming against you. The enemy is throwing things against you, right? Disappointments come. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a position where disappointment comes or whatever have you come against you. We need to build ourselves up. And one of the ways we build ourselves up is by praying in the Spirit. praying in the Spirit. Oh, I tell you how many times being a missionary, praying in the Spirit, build yourself up because the enemy wants you down. He wants you flat on your face. But you build yourself up by praying in the Spirit. Another work of the Holy Spirit, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, another work of benefit of speaking in tongues, he said, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Well, that goes along with building yourself up. You edify yourself, right? Another work of the Holy Spirit is in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12. Let's go there. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, 11 and 12, it says, with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to these people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing that they would not hear. You know, it refreshes you when you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in tongues. That's in Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12. You want to feel refreshed? I can't tell you how many times, you know, you're tired. You know, you've had a long week. And you just sit down, you just start to pray in the Spirit. And you just, afterwards, you just feel so refreshed. Man, that's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Man, that's just so awesome. And so the Holy Spirit would lead you into all truth. Amen. John 16:13 said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And you know, his truth is not different from God's truth. It's all the same. You know, some people would say, well, the Holy Spirit said so and so, but you don't see it in the Word. So my advice to you is to be discount that, because that's not true. He said he does not speak on his own authority. Whatever he said lines up with the Word of God. And he will guide you into that truth. You want to know about the Word? You want to know what the Word is saying? Praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Count on him. He will show you. You know, in 1 John 2:20, you know, I can't tell you how many times, you know, I'm seeking the Lord for wisdom and guidance about a particular area. And I tell you what, the Lord is faithful. Every time he'll just show me in the Word where to go and what to do. That's our Lord. 1 John 2:20, it says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. You know, the Holy Spirit that lives on inside you, if your spirit fell, knows all things. We just got to tap into it. We just got to believe it. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says when we pray in tongues, we're speaking mysteries. We're speaking mysteries. You know, we can pray to God for the understanding of that mystery. You know, it could be later on we're in spending our own time with the Lord, reading the Word of God. And as it speaks in Ephesians chapter 1, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that's the Holy Spirit enlightening you, showing you what the Word is saying. That's a work of the Holy Spirit, right? So that's just awesome news that we have that Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We have that helper. And you know, so many people, even though they're spirit-filled, they don't tap into that. We have that power source on the inside of us. That helper. He's there to help you. Think about it. We're not on our own. So many people feel on their own. Talking about spirit-filled believers now. Oh, I'm so alone. I don't know what to do. Man, you got the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the helper, who's there to help you. You see, but when we're ignorant, we're just right where the enemy wants us. Here it is, we're walking around with that awesome weapon, okay? And we're not using it. We're right where the enemy wants us. And there's a prime candidate for the enemy to walk all over. So we need to tap into that. It's just an awesome thing just to know that we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, that power source that Jesus sent to us to help us, to lead us into all truth. I think it's just an awesome thing. Amen. So let's move on into the armor of God, as stated in Ephesians chapter 6, starting from verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You know, as Christians, we need to remain strong in the Lord. In Him, we have strength. And the Word says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So He is our strength. You know, in Him, we need to stand. It's only in Him. He's our strength. You know, the Word says in John 15:5, He said, without Him, we can do nothing. So I want to start off talking about the arm of God. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. It's only in Him. Right? It's only in Him. He's our strength. He's our strength. Remember, He's the power source. We're not the power source. You know, sometimes we can, you know, I've seen individuals get carried away. You know, they go out there, you know, signs and wonders are following, and they think they're the ones that's the power source. No, He's the one. He's the one. Jesus is the power source, and we tap into this power source, right? When we believe, when we renew our minds to His word, when we renew our minds to who we are in the Spirit, release that power. You know, when we renew our minds, when the Word says, you know, you can lay hands on the sick and it shall recover. That's tapping in to the power source, who is Jesus Himself living on the inside of us. Right? Like it says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20. And said, what exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places. This is talking about that same power that raised Christ from the dead is on the inside of us. Right? Jesus Himself is on the inside of us. We're just going to renew our minds to that and tap into it. In verse 11, Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. As we said before, the wiles of the enemy, his trickeries, his devices, his schemes. And we also remind ourselves that's His armor. It's God's armor that we're putting on. Right? It's never in our own strength. Right? But it goes on to say we need to put it on. In order to stand against the wiles of the enemy, we can't get relaxed. Right? We can't get passive. You know, so many times you say, yes, yes, Jesus won the victory. That's true. He has won the victory. He did it all. So that doesn't mean we just sit down and, you know, fold our arms. There's an enemy out there. You know, the Word says in 1 Peter 5:8 that the devil, he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's there. He wants to devour you. I don't know if you can relate to this, but, you know, in times of war, right, the soldiers don't disarm themselves. They're always ready, knowing that the enemy is out there. Even though they may not see the enemy, they know the enemy is out there somewhere. So they keep armed. They're always ready. They're always alert. Now, I'm not talking about walking in fear, right? I'm talking out of a position that we have the victory, out of a position of rest, but we have to keep ourselves armed, right? And I'm going to go talk more about the armor of God. But we cannot be passive. You know, even if we've just won a victory, we can't get passive. You know, it's so easy, you know. We just come through a hard time, but we've seen the victory, and it's so easy to get relaxed. Right? Get passive, you know. Just get wrapped up with the cares of this world. Right? And the enemy seizes the opportunity to get in there, to attack us. I don't know if you remember the story of Gideon when he was choosing his army. He chose the ones that were alert, looking around. That's the way we need to be. We need to be alert. Be on guard. And you know what? When we're spending time in the Word of God, man, that keeps us alert. The Holy Spirit quickens to us in our spirit. You know, something is up. You know, you need to pray about this. You know, don't go here, go there. You know, that's not being passive, right? So we have to be aware there's an enemy out there who wants to deceive us, who wants to destroy you, right? So we have to put on the armor of God. The armor of God will not grow on you. You have to pick it up. Now, when I say put on the armor of God, It's not like I'm talking about, okay, every morning I put on the helmet. No, I'm just talking about we're walking in that revelation in Christ of who we are in Christ. Right? And you know what? As we're spending time in the Word, we're building ourselves up. We're keeping ourselves armed. Right? The whole Word is the armor of God. We're keeping ourselves there, delighting in Him. Right? I'm not talking about going through some religious formality every day. I put on another, put on the helmet, put on the breastplate. No. But you're keeping your mind renewed to who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ every day. That's keeping yourself armed. That's keeping yourself armed. Okay, look, move on to verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 6. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. So there it is again. Take up the whole armor of God. It's not just one piece of the armor. Okay? Like I said before, you know, it's the whole armor of God. It doesn't grow on us. God doesn't put it on us. He says, I've already done the work. I've already made a provision. Okay? Put it on. In other words, believe. Walk in it. Right? You know, and I'm not talking about works. But naturally, as we're renewing our mind to the Word of God, and like I said, you walk in it. This is who I am in Christ Jesus. Amen. This is what I have. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which you created, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Does that mean you don't have the new man? Yes, you do. But what Apostle Paul is saying is, walk in it. Be renewed to who you are. I know so many people are born again, but they don't know who they are in Christ. They're clueless. So they're defeated. Right? They're just discouraged day after day. And Apostle Paul is saying, look, put on that new man that you already have. You already have it. Walk in it. Renew your mind to it. So I think that's just so awesome. We need to put it on. Also, you know, one piece of the armor is used to, it's just not one piece of the armor. It's the whole thing we're talking about. So we can't pick and choose. Well, I'll just do this, you know. I'll just focus on salvation. I'll just focus on righteousness. The whole armor works together. And you're going to see that as we start talking about it. It's all linked together. So we can't minimize one or amplify one, so to speak, and just focus on one. We have to take up the whole armor of God, not parts of it. Right? So let's get into the first piece of the armor. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So we're going to talk first about having girded your waist with truth, or the belt of truth, like it says in other versions. No, the belt, you know, the Apostle Paul was talking to people who could relate. They saw the Roman soldiers. They saw them in their full armor. And if you could get this picture in your mind, when that soldier wore his armor, that belt was the anchor for everything else. The shield, the sword, everything hung off the belt, right? So the belt anchored the rest of the armor for the soldier. Just like the soldier's belt, truth anchors the rest of the Christian's armor. Okay? Truth anchors the rest of our armor. And the devil wages a constant and aggressive campaign against truth. You know that? He's always coming against the truth. He's always coming against, well, this is not truth, you know, or saying things like our experience means more than what the Word says, so we place more value on our experience than what the Word is saying. Therefore, our experience is more truth than what actual truth is, talking about the Word of God. Let me give you an example. You know, we may be believing someone for someone to be healed, right? And we know in the Word it says, by His stripes we are healed. But because we didn't see that person healing, in our opinion, that person was a good Christian, we say, well, see, God only heals some, right? God, it's not God's will to heal all the time. Because, you know, therefore, sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so would have been healed. But you know, if you go to the Word of God, that's not what His Word says. Mm-hmm. His Word says it's His will, right? That He went about, in Matthew chapter 8, that He went about healing all who were sick. He heals all, right? He doesn't heal some. God is no respecter of persons. He has no favorites, right? So if you have that particular truth that, you know, only God only heals sometimes, you know, there is your foundation being shaky. So when you come to God for prayer, you know, believe for healing, you're going to have it in the back of your mind. Well, maybe He might heal me. Maybe, who knows? Maybe I'm in surgery today. Maybe not. But when you know the truth, what the truth says, it is His will every time, right? That He's already healed us. By His stripes we were healed. All we got to do is stand on His word, believe it, and receive it. No matter what it looks like, devil, you're a liar. The truth says, by His stripes I have been healed. And I am not backing off of this truth. So you see, the enemy attacks truth. You know, the same way, when, like I said, no, I so wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I had a shaky truth where I thought I had to work for it. Work to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was fasting and I was begging God and I was pleading with God, please God, oh, I want to be filled. And it went on for years, right, until one day someone told me the truth, which was, it's a gift. And from the moment that person told me it was a gift, I received the Holy Spirit. But until then, right, I couldn't receive. My foundation was shaky. Another truth that I embraced, which was not good, which I believe, you know, God loved me conditioned on my performance. You know? Oh, I miss my Bible. God must be, you know, God must be upset with me. So I believe His love towards me was conditional. That's the way I approached God. God, you know, maybe, you know, He's not so pleased with me because I haven't been keeping up with my Bible reading. I haven't been doing so well. Right? So if you have such so-called truths in your life, it's open door for the enemy. He's going to pounce on you. See, you haven't been good. Right? Well, God's not going to work on your behalf. So He comes and He torments you. Hey, that's the enemy attacking you. But when you know the truth, you know what? My God, even while I was yet a sinner, came and died for me. When His word said, nothing shall separate me from His love, you can stand. You can stand firm on that truth. So no matter what's happening, you're on steady ground. That's why it's so important to know the word. It's so important to know what the truth of God's word is saying. You know, what is truth? Like I said, John 17:17, it says, thy word is truth. Let's read that verse. So many people say, oh, this is the truth, that's the truth. Right? John 17:17. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. So His word is truth. And then Ephesians 1:13, it says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So these words are just emphasizing that His word is the truth. Nothing else. Right? And in Psalm 119:151, you know, today we have people preaching that only certain parts of the word is truth. Well, that's not true. Psalm 119:151. He says, you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. All of it. Now, some people are getting into, okay, well, this book is for me, this book is for them. that's not right. The entire word is for us. All this whole word is His truth. Okay? So we don't need to fall into that trap. Okay, and what is the purpose of truth? Okay? John 8:31 and 32 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Right? You want to be set free? Get a revelation of God's word. Get a revelation of God's truth. Whatever it is you're struggling with, whatever it is you're having issues with in your life, you want to be set. You want to be set free. All the answers are in God's word. You don't have to look anywhere else. Just go to God's word. The truth will set you free. You know, in Psalm 119, 105, it talks about, you know, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. You want to be shown the way? You want to know which direction to go? Get into God's word. Amen. A lot of times, you know, we're lazy. We want to go to other people and ask them where to go and what to do. Get into God's word. It'll never steer you wrong. You know, when you go to other people for advice, you may be getting just their opinion. But when you go to God's word, you're getting the truth. You're getting what God is saying to you. You're getting His word to you. His personal message to you. That's why we need to get into God's word. We need to know the truth. So if we neglect understanding, knowing the truth, the foundation of the armor would be shaky. So that's why, you know, Sean taught a series on Is Your Truth Rightly Divided? Go listen to it. Amen. We have to know. So many people don't know what they believe. A lot of Christians, you talk to them, I don't know. Yeah, I'm born again, you know. What do you believe? They're stunned. They don't know the word. They don't know what the word says about them. Right? They don't even know that what Jesus did for them. Really? Well, he died on the cross. Really? What did he do on the cross? They don't know. All of these things are valuable for us, you know, to stand on. That's what we stand on as God's people. The truth of God's word. When we know the truth, we can tell when the counterfeit is before us. We could see the lies. When the enemy comes against us and lies in our ear that you're not, you know, look at you. You're a failure. Right? You're rejected. Then when you know the word, I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm a child of God. Amen. Look at you. God's forsaken you. That's not true. He said, my God said he will never leave me or forsake me. That's why we need to know the truth of God's word. We need to have that belt tightened, right? And know the truth of God's word. Okay, the next piece of armor is the breastplate of righteousness, and that's right there in verse 14, Ephesians 6:14. It says, stand therefore, right? And we talk about the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, the Roman soldier, he wore a breastplate that covered his vital organs. And then we are told to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this has two meanings, okay? First of all, we have God's righteousness that he's given to us as a gift. And we see that in Romans 3:22. It says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Right? So this righteousness comes just by faith, believing in Jesus Christ. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we receive his righteousness as a gift. Right? This righteousness is right standing before God. We know all this, but we need to remind ourselves of it. We have this right standing because Jesus Christ died for our sins. Right? We see it in Romans 5:17-18, where it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So we see here we receive this gift of righteousness. And that's awesome news. Because we didn't work for this righteousness. All we had to do is simply believe. Right? We believe and receive this right standing. And you know what? That's good to know. That's good to have a revelation of this righteousness. Because you know what? Sometimes we mess up. Yes, we do. We mess up. And when we mess up, you know, if we don't know this, if we don't have a revelation of our right standing in Jesus Christ, that we didn't work for this righteousness to begin with, right? We're going to open the door to the enemy. Oh, look at you. You messed up. And we feel that we have to work to get back into God's grace. We have to work to get back into favor with God. But when we know we're in right standing, like it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We could, you know, come against the enemy. You know, I may have messed up, but praise God for His grace. Praise God. It's not my righteousness, but His righteousness. Amen. Right? I am righteous. Not because of what have I done, but because of Christ has done. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when we make mistakes, we will make mistakes. But it's good to remind ourselves that we are righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He did it all for me. And all I had to do is to simply believe. Right? 1 Thessalonians 5:8. You know, so many Christians deal with that issue of condemnation and how much mistakes they've made in their life, and they can never move on. And they just stay there, and they're right where the enemy has them. He doesn't want you to press forward in the things of God. He wants that every time we mess up, we run away and say, oh, God must hate me. God, you know, all these issues we deal with, which are lies from the enemy. But if we know who we are in Christ or what we have in Christ, we'll be able to press forward, right? I'm not saying make excuses for our bad behavior now. And I'm going to get into that. But I'm saying it's all from a position of this righteousness that we have is a gift. And we're supposed to remain in that, knowing that that's our position at all time. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. So here it refers to the breastplate of righteousness as also the breastplate of faith and love. And how does righteousness come by? Faith, right? Believing, knowing how much He loves us by His love, right? The breastplate of faith and love. It's not of works, but it's of faith, right? You find it in Philippians 3:9 says, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Right? And then Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Why am I bringing in the heart? Well, remember I said the breastplate covered the vital organs. And if you agree with me, but the heart is one of the most vital organs, right? In Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, but because from out of it spring the issues of life. We have to keep our heart with all diligence. So what we have in our heart would ultimately determine the course of our lives, for good or for evil, right? That is why it's essential that we protect our hearts from all kinds of evil. Right? We have to be careful what we allow coming in. Right? Philippians 1:11. That's why even though we know we have right standing in Christ, we are the righteousness of God. Does that mean we can just flip on the TV and just watch any old thing that's on television? Any old carnal thing? No. You know, some people look at me, what are you talking about? But you know, some people think that way. Well, I'm righteous. I have right standing with God, so it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter where I go, what I expose myself to. But you're going to see, it will affect you. Right? Whatever you are exposing yourself to, whatever you're focused on, it's going to influence your heart. Right? So Philippians 1:11 says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So we're supposed to be displaying in our life the fruits of righteousness. If we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, if we have Jesus Himself living on the inside of us, which we do, God's people, if you're born again, it's supposed to be reflected in our life, right? 1 Timothy 6:11 talks about pursue righteousness. Am I talking about getting into works? No. No, some people may look at that verse about pursuing righteousness, mean pursue righteousness. Who is Jesus? He's our righteousness. Okay. You can say that if you want to, right? But it says pursue righteousness. Romans 6:13. Right, I'm going to get into some other verses here. Romans 6:13 says, "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, as your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Right? Our actions are supposed to reflect who we say we are. We go around saying we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But yet, in our actions, it says, tells a different story. Our actions is so contrary to the word of God. That tells me something is wrong. Okay? I'm not trying to condemn anyone. But, you know, we need to pursue righteousness. We need to know 1 Corinthians 15:34. It says, awake to righteousness. What does that mean? Awake to righteousness. Get a revelation of who you are in the spirit, that right standing of who you are in the spirit. You know, every time you have a revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus, it always reflects in your action, right? It doesn't matter how many times somebody tells me something, but if I'm not seeing reflected in their life, tells me they don't truly believe it. They're not truly persuaded of it in their heart. Because when you're truly persuaded of something, right? Say, for example, I'm persuaded that Jesus heals. And there's nothing you can get me to back out of that. So it's reflected in my life when I'm standing for healing. When we're laying hands on someone. I don't fluctuate. It's demonstrated in my life. Right? For example, another thing that I'm persuaded of, his love for me. Right? It's reflected. And because I know his love for me, I can extend love to other people. Right? Because of his love. Lord, you loved me while I was yet unlovely. And that person I see over them, even though in the natural may seem unlovely, God, Jesus Christ, you live on the inside of me and you want to love that person through me. Right? So pursue righteousness. Now, 1 John 2:29, let's go there. 1 John 2:29. It says, "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him." Right? When you practice righteousness, it's demonstrating that you're his child. Okay? Another verse is 1 John 3:7. It says, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." That is such a good verse. Let no one deceive you. Okay? Just as he is righteous, you're going to walk in that. Now, Jesus Christ was our example. And when he walked this earth, he demonstrated his righteousness. Right? He forgave people. Right? You know, when he was on the cross and they were saying, "Crucify him." I believe those were some of the very people whom I believe he fed. Whom he probably healed. And they were saying, "Crucify him." Right? And he demonstrated that righteousness by saying, "Father, forgive them." Right? That's the fruit of righteousness, you know, when we can forgive. When we can forgive people. Right? That's why Apostle Paul tells the Galatians in Galatians 6:8, "Sow to the Spirit." Sow to the Spirit, right? But if you sow to the flesh, you are of the flesh, reap corruption. If you're harboring unforgiveness, you're sowing to the flesh. That's open road for the enemy, open ground for the enemy. What happens because of unforgiveness? Bitterness, strife. You know, a lot of people who I've seen who harbor unforgiveness, they're always sick, have some ailment. Oh, open ground for the enemy. But Apostle Paul said, sow to the Spirit. Or like it says in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. Walk in who you are in Christ. Right? It's there for a purpose. I'm not being legalistic. It's our armor. It's for our protection. Right? So we won't open the door to the enemy. So did. Renew our mind. Right? You know, Galatians 5:22, we have the fruit of the Spirit on the inside of us. You know, that's God's attributes on the inside of us. He's love, joy, peace. His very own nature. That's him on the inside of us. The fruit of the Spirit. That's him. That's him. No, the fruit of the Spirit in our new man. But all those attributes speak of Jesus on the inside of us. And not just there so we can quote it off. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. No. It's supposed to be demonstrated in our life, reflected in our life. Amen. We can't go around saying, oh, we're Christians. Have you heard, oh, she says she's a Christian, but boy, you should hear the things that come out of her mouth. Oh, right now I'm not talking about legalism, but I'm thinking, man, if we align ourselves with Jesus Christ, and we say we're in the kingdom of the light, kingdom of the sun, we're supposed to be reflecting those attributes, right? That's why Apostle Paul said, pursue righteousness, right? Walk in the Spirit. You know, in 1 John 3:10, it says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Wow. Right? If you're having a hard time loving your brother, you're not tapping in. You say you're born again. If you say you love Jesus, right? You're not walking in that who you are in the Spirit, that right stand, that righteousness. But if you say, you know what? God is love. He loves me. Right? And so many times I've messed up, but yet his love towards me is unconditional. Man, and he lives on the inside of me. Therefore, even though my brother may have wronged me so many times, I have Jesus Christ living inside of me, who's loved me so many times when I've messed up, and he's never forsaken me. Therefore, I can walk in this love towards my brother. I can display this love. And if you're having a hard time in that, just go to the Word of God. Renew your mind to the Word of God. To what the Word says about love. Right? Renew our mind. Get into the Word. Get into God's Word about love. It says here, but he, in 1 John 2:11 says, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Right? So, not because, you know, we say we're under grace, and doesn't mean because I say pursue love, I'm being legalistic. It's a good thing. Pursue righteousness. Renew your mind. Man, I don't know how anybody could say they love Jesus and just walk contrary to the Word of God. Man, when you're in love with Jesus, you're in love with His Word. Amen. You love God so much. You know, you want to display, reflect Him in your everyday life. You know, in 1 Timothy 3:16, and if you want instruction on righteousness, you're like, well, how, where do I go? Where can I learn? 2 Timothy 3:16. You know, where can I learn about righteousness? Where can I learn about this? 2 Timothy. And I'm going to end here. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So if you want instruction in righteousness, go to the Word of God. They tell you everything you need to know, how to walk in the Spirit, right? How to be spiritually minded, which is word-minded, and how to sow to the Spirit. Amen. Right? And verse 17, that the man of God may be completely, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to be equipped? You want to be armed? Get into the Word of God. Get into God's Word. Amen? You can never get away from getting to God's Word. Amen? So next week we'll continue talking about the armor of God. We're going to talk about the shoes shod with the gospel of peace. Praise God. Amen.